We're doing the Drashot Taran. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Gimel in the Shalem edition, page Shin Chet in the Mosander of Kuk edition. And the Ran had been discussing the idea of the prophecy spreading from Moshe to the 70 elders. He had discussed the Jewish view on democracy and monarchy, the importance of having a single approach, whereas if you have too much argumentation in the leadership, so sometimes things just don't move. You could find the government reaching their debt ceiling over and over and over again and not resolving anything. You could have situations where you're just frozen in place because there's arguments in the leadership. So then he said this idea that Moshe is getting prophecy and they're getting their prophecy through Moshe. The way the Torah is so careful to describe it was to ensure that it was clear that they're all under Moshe. They're all getting their prophecy through Moshe. And this way, you'd still have leadership, even though you have 71 prophets in the camp. Now, with this introduction, we can understand what's going on in the continuation of the story. It says there were two people inside the camp having prophecy. It says, so this lad comes running to Moshe. He says, Moshe, it's an emergency. Eldad and Medad, they're giving out prophecy inside the camp. So Yoshua bin Nun, Moshe's faithful servant, he says, Adoni Moshe Klaim, he says, Moshe, put him in jail. So we have to understand, what's Yoshua talking about? They get prophecy, so they deserve to be jailed? What did they do wrong? What did Yoshua say, put him in jail for? But based on what I wrote, says the Ran, it makes sense. והוא, שראה יהושע שאלה היו חולקים על הכוונה האלוקית, אשר כיוונה שיהיה רוח כולם יונק ונמשך מרוח משה, כדי שישתוו דעותיהם יסכימו כאחת. God's intent was, everyone goes out of the camp, and everyone gets their prophecy from Moshe, so that we have this unity even within prophecy. והנה אלה השניים, and here you have two fellas, היו עושים ראש בפני עצמם ורוצים להתנבא מרוח מיוחד. They're standing on their own, working to attain prophecy, and you see, they're trying to get on in their own merits, they attain prophecy. And even though no one doubted that they were telling the truth, they were tremendously pious, and they're giving over true prophecy. But if you're going to have three leaders walking in the camp, you're going to have Moshe and his 70 followers, and then Eldad and Medad with their own prophecy, so how are you going to run the people? So Yoshua said, fine, if they have prophecy, maybe our job is to put them in jail. They want to have prophecy, let them have their own prophecy. What's it our problem? What do we have to have another two leaders in camp? You have to add to this, part of what's going on here is Yoshua was being zealous to protect Moshe. Because here God says, I want all the prophets to be subservient to Moshe. They should all go out of the camp. Two prophets stay in the camp and boom, they get prophecy. So Yoshua says, wait a second. This is against Moshe's honor. Yoshua says to himself, gee, so you have two fellas here who want to be separate from Moshe. Why didn't they go out? They wanted prophecy. They should have been out. So these two obviously want to make a breakaway prophecy. And even though you have to understand that that was not at all their intent, Eldad and Medad, and Yoshua erred in this. Because if you go with the opinion in Tractate Sanhedrin that the two of them said, we're not fitting, or we don't want to embarrass anyone else, so they stayed in the camp out of modesty. They weren't doing it out of arrogance, let's go fight Moshe. They did it out of modesty. Shamu sham. The Talmud says in Sanhedrin, Tanu Rabbanan, Vayisharu shnei anashim b'machaneh, yesh umrim, b'kalpin nishtayru. Some say, remember, they're going to have 70 prophets. Moshe says to God, how am I supposed to do it? With 12 tribes, that doesn't break out evenly into 70. Six. If you take six from each tribe, you end up with 72. So which tribe is going to have only five representatives in the 70 elders? God tells Moshe, draw lots. Two names are left. The first opinion says, these two people, Eldad and Medad, their names were left in the box. They weren't drawn. They drew out 70 names. Each tribe gave 6 representatives, put their names in a box. They drew out 70 of the 72. Those 70 elders went out. Eldad and Medad were the 2 that were left in the box. So they were fit to represent their tribe, but they weren't chosen. So they went back home. That's the first opinion in the Braisa. So they stayed in the camp. And then when God gave prophecy, God said, no, you don't. You guys are worthy too, and gave them prophecy as well. Rabbi Shimon omer b'machane nishtayru. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it happened differently. When God tells Moshe, gather 70. Amru Eldad u'Medad, enanu ruyim l'ota gdula. Eldad and Medad said, we're not worthy. So even though the tribe wanted them to represent, the 2 of them stayed home. So they said, if 2 have to be bumped out, they looked around, they said, 70 fine people here, we don't feel worthy. They went back home. They said, we're not in the lot. God said, being that you were so humble, God says, I'm going to make you even greater. And what was the greatness that they got that was even greater? The other elders had a one-time prophecy, just to inaugurate them into this position. Eldad and Medad, for the rest of their lives, were prophets. That was a special gift. 2, the 2 that were not with the 70. Because those 2 were on a higher level. They said, okay, we're not worthy. They were more modest. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what happened? What did Yoshua get all riled up for? I mean, Yoshua says, jail them. Because he didn't understand their intent. Why did they stay home? Because they were extra humble. So Hashem gave them the prophecy because they were on a higher level. Yoshua thought they're breaking away. They figure they'll get the prophecy and it won't be next to Moshe, and then they'll be able to be their own bosses. They'll say, we don't need Moshe. Yoshua right away senses maybe people are trying to make a separate crowd within Israel. So that's why Yeshua says, jail them. He says, they should be jailed so that we don't lose the leadership here. The other opinion that says, their 2 names were the last 2 left in the box. Then it fits even better. The 2 of them said, hey, we were left in the box. Obviously, God doesn't want us among the prophets. And here the Ran is going to address the basic question, which I kept wondering, I thought you guys would ask. How could Yeshua say to put him in jail if God gave him prophecy? You know, this isn't like a radio transmitter. Turn on the right channel, you get the tune, you know. God gave them prophecy. So what was the claim against them? Meaning, what did they do wrong? Yeshua says, you're going to have a different leadership in the camp. And so you got to put them in jail. Okay, I understand Yeshua, but on the other hand, God did speak to them. So what did they do wrong?
God also spoke to Bilam. Just because he spoke to you doesn't mean you necessarily...
Okay, I hear that.
And you said about the beginning, with democracy and monarchy, and democracy goes amok.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're not bothered with this idea that the court down below can say, if God gave someone prophecy, we don't accept it.
We have an example of somebody who used prophecy improperly.
So let me give you just one more very controversial piece of information that most people don't know. I didn't either know, but Rav Pesen Zatzal showed me this. And if you quote it to people, they're going to be very upset at you. So unless you quote it with the source, you know, don't quote it. Most people don't know this exists. But it says in the responsa from the Gaonic period that when a prophet would get prophecy, he would have to go up to the temple, to the Lishkat HaGazit. He would go up to the high court and present them with his prophecy. And then the high court would give him a license to go and tell it over to the people. And this is in line with the interpretation that the temple is called Devir because Mishama Dibur Yotze. That's where prophets would start there. That's where God's prophecy began. But if you think about it, what that means is that there was a checks and balances on the prophets. That if the high court decided, no, we don't. You're not saying it. So God gave Yeshaya a piece of prophecy, for example, and Yeshaya says, God sent me to say it. And the high court says, no. What? So this checks and balances, on one level, makes a lot of sense, because otherwise anyone could stand up and say, hey, I'm a prophet. God told me to tell you. You know, give me $1 million. What? Ah, so but you see, this is a step two. I think
this
so.
Is even better because this says you could theoretically be an illegitimate prophet. This is a further check saying that the fact that Hashem married you this gift isn't enough to necessarily.
It's a very controversial. I'm saying if you say it without the sources, people will really get upset at you.
The people are also on an incredibly high level because if the people accept, hey, where's your seal of approval?
Yeah.
So all these prophets that we weren't as a whole accepting them originally, and we had lots of downfalls because we weren't listening to them. Who's approving these things if we weren't accepting them?
What are you referring to? I'm not following.
We talked about like all the different Nabi'im that like we said last week, how like we see that a lot of them the messages didn't go through. We didn't accept them.
Well, that the people, the masses didn't listen to them. The Sanhedrin gave Yeshaya a letter of approval. But then he came to the people and the people said, go fly a kite. The people wouldn't accept him. And now the Ran is going on. The kings also didn't want to listen when they told them something they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to listen. It's the fact that the court says he's right doesn't mean the king wants to listen. Does the king have more authority than Sanhedrin? It's different authority. The Sanhedrin respects him, but that doesn't mean he has more power. He has different power. This is a side point. Bring it up Thursday night. It's not our topic. Want to talk about a king? Why? No, next Thursday night's here. Unless guys tell me differently. As far as I know, it's here. The next point is something which I don't want to run through. We have only 6 minutes left, and it's a huge chidush. So we'll pause here. It's the middle of a thought, but really, he parenthetically sticks in another big chidush, which we'll discuss Bezat Shem next week. So far, what we've learned is that the reason Yeshua protested was because Yeshua said God wanted this to be in unison. That everyone is clearly getting their prophecy from Moshe, and these two, Eldad and Medad, are breaking away from the camp, and that's a threat to the unity of the leadership. And we had seen two interpretations, but however you go, it's God is giving them the prophecy, but Yeshua is saying, we shouldn't allow this to happen in the camp because this can be a danger. We still have to see what exactly they did wrong and what Moshe was replying. And Bezat Hashem, step by step, we'll break it up. There are still a lot of questions left unaddressed. Okay, Bezat Hashem, next week, the week after, we'll get there. Yeah.